David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even of harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perazuzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" Let's pray. Father, we ask you to give us grace this morning and wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would look into the hearts of the people in this place. And you know what's there. And I pray if there be any bitterness springing up, any displeasure with thee, I pray root that out this morning. Help us to love thee with all of our heart and trust thee with all of our soul. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, "So, You're Mad at God." And I want to deal with the subject of people's displeasure. People being displeased, people being angry with the Lord. So, preacher, I'd never do that. Well, you better be really careful. I've been mad at him a time or two myself. Amen. It really is a pretty common occurrence. Now, it's one thing to be displeased and to be upset with God over circumstances and situations. It is another to hang on to it and to harbor it and nurture it until it becomes anger at God. Job was displeased with the Lord and didn't understand what God was doing. He was frustrated, and he ranted and raved and cursed the day he was born. And of course, now Job was kind of justified in his anger. He just lost a fortune, lost 10 young'uns, and you know, and so he's ranting and raving. He was mad. He didn't understand it. And he just kind of blew his top there for about 15 chapters and just ranted and raved and cursed everything he could think of except God. Now, while Job was angry and displeased with the Lord and all that, he never let it turn to bitterness. He never let it turn to hatred. He was smart enough to say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Amen. And I'm not sure that getting angry at God sometimes is a bad thing. Do you good sometimes to vent? You know, husbands and wives do that. Things sail around along in your house for 6 months or 8 months or a year, and no fussing and no fighting and bickering. And all that means is that both of y'all have taken a lot of guff and kept your mouth shut and been real gracious. Amen. It does not mean everything's been perfect and y'all got along that good. It's just you decided to eat it this time. Amen. But after a while, the lid blows off and you vent and get all that hostility out. And maybe for a day or two, it's kind of hell on wheels around your house. We're the only one that does that, sweetheart. Well, I tell you what, we enjoy ours, don't we? And then after you get all that stuff out of your system, you make up. Making up is sweet. Amen. But you know, a lot of times in marriages, folks get bitter and angry like that. And they have their big blow up, but they don't put it aside. They don't get over it. They hang on to it. They nurture it. They carry hard feelings about it. They carry a grudge along with them. And over time, those things build up until they don't love each other anymore. They practically hate each other anymore. Christians do that with God. So you're mad at God. You say, "Well, not this morning." Well, you probably will be at some time or another. And if the right circumstance occurs in your life, I can almost guarantee you will be, at least for a while. So let me just say this at the outset. Go ahead. Stamp your feet. holler and scream and kick and cuss and carry on and just throw a fit. Help yourself. You're mad at God, just go ahead and blow up. Rant and rave and just make a fool out of yourself. God's got big shoulders. Your little fit ain't going to hurt God any. Amen. Maybe it'll make you feel better to get some of that nonsense out of your system, so go ahead. When you get through, God will be right where He was at. God will be just like He was. The only thing that's changed is you. Somebody say amen. Now, the only thing I can say is this. When you get angry at God, get over it. Don't let it turn to bitterness. Don't let it turn to hatred. And I'm afraid all too often that is what happens. And so that's what I want to talk to you about a few minutes this morning. And let's start with this thought. Who gets mad at God? Who gets mad at God? Well, quite simply, everybody. Unsaved people get angry at God. That's the most amazing thing. They don't know God, don't love God, don't care anything about God, don't worship God, don't serve the Lord. Yet, when bad things happen in their life, the first person they get mad at is God. They say, well, if God's such a loving God, why did He let that happen? Well, what are you calling on God now for? You ain't talked to Him in 25 years. You've got to have somebody to blame, so you might as well blame God for it. Unsaved people, you talk to them all the time, unsaved people get angry at the Lord. Even though they don't do Him right, even though they don't serve Him, even though, you know, no matter what, the first time some circumstance arises in their life, the first person they vent their hostility on is a God they don't serve. Who else gets angry at God? Well, saved people get angry at God. There's only two groups, you know. There's saved and lost. Lost people get mad at God. Saved people get mad at God. Now, I divided saved people into two groups. Carnal and spiritual. Amen. Lukewarm, backslid, barely saved Christians, and us spirit-filled saints. But it's been my observation that it makes little or no difference when it comes to getting mad at God. We can all, the carnal Christian and the spiritual Christian, we can all get angry at God when circumstances don't go our way, when we don't understand what's going on. We can blow up like a toad. You say, well, I always thought He was more spiritual than that. You should never have made that assumption. He said, well, I expected that out of Him. You know, He's kind of half backslid anyway. Yeah, well, that didn't make any difference. He could have got just as mad, just as angry, if he'd have been walking with the Lord like a brother. Amen. The truth is, everybody can, and most people do, get mad at God at some point. David was displeased with the Lord because he killed this fella over the Ark of the Covenant. David didn't think God ought to have done that. He thought God made a mistake. He thought God overreacted. He thought it was a knee-jerk reaction and God just smote him down. God didn't do that at all. God doesn't make knee-jerk reactions. God's not impulsive. He never makes mistakes. Now, if you understood God and the Ark of the Covenant, you would know why God killed Uzzah, and He had it coming. The truth is, the old boy knew better. He said, well, I don't see it, man. It's just a box. Well, that's because you don't understand the holy. If you spent more time with God, you'd understand why God did what He did. Now, but I don't want to preach on that. I just want you to understand that David was displeased with the Lord. He was angry because of an action on God's part. Amen. I bet you if you've been saved very long, there's been some things happening in your life you didn't understand. Amen. I've heard Christians whine now for over 30 years. Preacher, I just don't understand it. Me and my husband, we was trying to serve the Lord the best of our ability. We go to church and we tithe. And preacher, you know we're trying to live right. I just don't know why God let that happen to us. Well, Well, I tell you why, lady, it's that whiny voice you got. I'd have done it myself. And some of y'all need to learn how to laugh. Now, so who gets mad? On occasion, everybody. But not everybody holds on to it for years and years. Not everybody lets it turn to bitterness. Not everybody lets it fester. Amen? They get angry. There's things they don't understand or they don't appreciate, and it aggravates them, but they move on. They pray about it. They work their way through it, and they move on. And that's fine, and that's good, and that's healthy. That's the way we are in our other relationships. And if you're not that way in your other relationships, they are doomed to failure. And so is your relationship with God. Now that we know who gets mad, and nobody here is exempt, let's discuss what people get mad about. Now, it's technically possible to get some Christian angry about anything. And for the most part, I really don't want to talk about the things that make unsaved people mad with the Lord. That's their problem. I want to talk to you Christians about things that make us mad. Things that upset Christians and that break off our fellowship and build a wall between us and the Lord. Those things that can occur in the life of a believer that will separate him from God. Now, you do the separating. God never moves. Amen. The whole problem, start to finish, both ends and the middle, is your fault. Amen. And so let's discuss some of those for a few minutes. Now, I could make an almost endless list of things that people can get upset about. Some Christians are so petty, every little thing upsets them. If they can't understand exactly what God's doing all the time in every situation, God needs to put the brakes on and come talk to them and get it straight before He does anything. Amen? And God's not about to do that. So let's look at some common things, though. And I'm just going to give you five or six examples, and then you can add to your list with your petty grievance. Number one, things that people get mad at God about. I'm talking about Christians. They get mad over failed marriages. People got this imbecilic idea that if you get saved... and I've heard preachers tell Christians, if both of y'all just live for God, they put the Lord, if the Lord put the Lord in the middle, you can overcome. And that is true. You can. It just doesn't mean you will. Amen. They say, well, I thought if I got saved and lived for God, God would put my marriage back together, God would put my home back together. A lot of times when you get saved, it tears it up. You get a spiritually minded man and an unspiritual woman or vice versa, and buddy, it's Katie bar the door and around that place. One wanting to live for God and one wanting not. Listen, salvation has destroyed as many homes as it ever put together. People get mad at God about failed marriages for whatever reason, whether it's unfaithfulness or incompatibility or too much water under too many bridges for too long a time. It doesn't make any difference. People get angry about it, they get bitter about it, they get hurt about it, and they blame God for it. Because they think if they serve in the Lord, and most of the time they're not serving near as close as they think they are, but they think they're serving God. And so they don't know why God let that happen to them. They get mad about failed marriages. Children get mad at God because mama or daddy deserted me. If God loved me, why did He take daddy away? Kid doesn't understand. They don't know why it happened. Half the time they blame themselves, you know. And the truth is, it didn't have anything to do with them to start with. It was a problem between mom and daddy. But a little youngin' doesn't understand. And so what did they get angry at God? If God loves me and God loved mom and daddy, why did God let this happen? And from their youth up, they have a chip on their shoulder against God. They're angry with Him. Isn't that a great tragedy? People get mad at God because some loved one was killed or died or is terminal. Why did God pick on my mama? Why, she's only this old, and this, or daddy is just this many years old. Why me? We weren't ready. They didn't deserve it. He was a good man. She was a good woman. I don't understand why God had to take mine. And they get angry about it. Well, mama never done nothing to deserve this. Daddy never done anything to deserve this. Why, they were saved. We'll talk about that in a minute. But they get angry at God because some loved one in their family, mom or grandma or whoever it is, has either died or been killed or they're terminal, and the Christian is angry at God because of it. How about this? People get angry at God because they themselves have a terminal illness or a crippling or debilitating disease. They just don't know why God could have done that to them. After all, they're living for the Lord. You know, it just never occurs to some people that bad things happen to good folks. Amen. And when something happens bad, the first person they want to blame for it is God. How many folks you ever knew that got mad about a sickness or an illness or a divorce or whatever it was and blamed themselves? They either blame the other person or they blame God. We always justify ourselves while admitting, you know I had my part in it too, and but not the real problem. See, yours was a lesser share. It could have been done and worked out and fixed up or whatever if the other side had done their part. Amen. Can't kid me. I've counseled with way too many folks. I've been in way too many hospital rooms. It's always somebody else's fault. It wasn't the way I lived that got me in this mess. It's God's meanness. Man, you let some Christian come down with a terminal disease, or even worse, come down with some debilitating disease that's going to take their quality of life away from them, that's going to put them in a wheelchair or make them bedridden, and you watch them get mad at God. They just don't know why in the world. They can't think of a single reason why God should have done that to them. Now, you can always understand it when God does it to somebody else. We always know the meanness and the faults and the failures and the shortcomings of the other guy. And while we hate it for him, we can understand it. But we never can understand it about us. I've seen folks get mad, Christian people, because they can't have children. I mean, just get angry at God. Take every shortcut. Try to cheat in every way possible, in vitro fertilization and sperm donors and God only knows what, and nothing works. You know what they do? They end up with a chip on their shoulder at God. God wouldn't let me have a baby. You might ought to thank God for that these days. How about if people get mad because of circumstances in life? Life just hasn't been fair. I got dealt a bad hand. Nothing ever went my way. God just never did cut me any slack or bless me. And they get mad at God. You know, because they're a failure. It's God's fault. If God had given them more opportunity, if God had opened more doors, they could have done better. but they're miserable and they're never succeeded at anything and they've never gotten anywhere, and now they got a chip on their shoulder, and rather than blame themselves, they gonna blame God for it. It's amazing what all God gets blamed for. I've seen people who are angry at God because they can't understand how a God of love and compassion and mercy and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness could allow all the pain and suffering that's in the world. Preacher, I say right now, I just can't believe in no God that let all this go. And see all them little old babies out there going hungry and being brutalized and all. He said, I just can't believe if there's a loving God, He could allow that to happen. So they're angry. There's enough angry God out there to fill the universe, I believe, sometimes. I've talked to so many people that are angry at God. I've talked to folks who go to church, who are still in church, that have got a chip on their shoulder at the Lord. They're serving Him because they're afraid not to. But if they thought there wasn't any consequence to it, they wouldn't, because they don't think God done something right. Hello? Now, who gets mad at God? Just about everybody. What do they get mad about? Just about anything. Amen? Now, before I go any further, let me give you a couple of verses that put them in your mind to think about these as we go the rest of the way. The first one's found in, you don't need to turn there, in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and verse 2. The disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there was a man there, and they said, Lord, who did sin that this man should be born blind? And Jesus said, neither. This guy was born blind, didn't have anything to do with sin. Amen. Mama and daddy's or his. Amen? He's just born blind. What about this one? In John chapter 5 and verse 14, Jesus, talking to a fellow there that's been crippled up, and the Lord heals him. And you know what the Lord said? He said, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. So evidently that guy's problem was because of sin. The one guy's wasn't, one guy's was. How about this verse? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, it's talking about the battle is not to the swift and all that, and not riches to the wise and all that. In verse in Ecclesiastes 9:11, he's talking about all these people you would think would have been successful or winners, but a lot of times they're not. The battle is not to the swift. It should have been. See? Nor the race to the strong. It should have been. Nor riches to the wise. It should be. If you thought about it logically, that's the way it would be. He said, but it's not that way. He said, why? Because time and chance happeneth to them all. Sometimes it's just capricious, blind luck. Good luck or bad luck. God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Which leads to a tremendous thought for all those folks who want to get angry at God. Before you jump in there and just throw your little fit and kick your heels in the air and get mad at God through and through, I want you to think about three things. Just three. So what are they? Well, before you get too mad, before you get too involved, ask yourself about these three things. Number one, is the thing that angers me a matter of human conduct? That is, the dilemma that I'm in, the situation I have, the thing that is angering me, that I don't understand, that I can't fix, that I can't handle, is it in reality a result of human conduct? That is, have I or they done things that brought about this result? God didn't have to be involved. Amen? Mama or daddy or grandma has got lung cancer. They're dying. They've been smoking 40 years. The Surgeon General been warning for 30 years. The kids been trying to get them to quit for 25 years. But they still are sucking on them cigarettes. And now they got cancer. And they say, I don't know why God's going to take Grandpa. Because Grandpa's stupid, sweetheart. If he quit smoking 40 years, he wouldn't have lung cancer. Why in the world, there's a million examples we could get there. Why in the world would somebody get mad at God for something they did to themselves? But people do it all the time. Never mind that he drank himself into oblivion and turned his liver into a sponge. Never mind he smoked three packs of Pall Mall Reds a day and destroyed his lungs. Amen. Blame God. People do that all the time. So before you get angry at God, let's look at your situation, and if it's personal or if it's to somebody else, and see if God really did have anything to do with it, or if it's just a direct result of their stupidity. Amen? And then you can get mad at them. Amen. How about getting mad at the one that really caused the problem? Yourself or the other guy? How about this? We should consider, is the thing that angers me a matter of human conduct? What about this? The thing that angers me, is it a matter of biology? That is, was I predisposed to it? Is it hereditary? Was there anything I could do about it? If it didn't have to do with drug abuse and that kind of stuff, is it just a matter of biology? I got bad genes. I got bad chromosomes. Some people are prone to certain things. Amen. The honest truth is that somewhere down the road, something or another is going to get you. You understand that you have a body that is not perfect anymore. And it doesn't work just like God intended it to work when God first made it. And that slowly but surely, it's falling apart on you. And there's going to come a day, there's going to come a time, there's going to come a place when some dread disease is going to overtake your body and you're going to succumb to it and you will perish because of it. So why run off hollering and screaming and kicking your heels at God because He took your loved one or your friend or you've got some terminal disease, and it's just a matter of biology. Certain things are hereditary. You know, if mom and daddy had it, chances are 8 to 10, you're going to get it. Amen? It's not a matter of God coming down and signaling you out and saying, okay, Tommy Stewart, contrary to conduct and contrary to biology, I'm going to smack you with this anyway. Amen? Now, if God did that, then maybe you'd have a leg to stand on. But the truth is, we never consider whether it was a lifestyle issue or a conduct issue or a biological issue. We don't care what it is. The minute we find out about it, the only person that can be responsible for it is God Almighty Himself. Now, you never blamed God for anything else in your life. Amen. You took credit for all your successes. Yes. Amen. Amen? The only time God's guilty of anything is when it's bad. Anything and everything that's good that ever happened to you, you deserved it and you did it and you worked it out yourself. Amen? But let the walls start to crumble and see how quick will you run to the fence and cuss at God. Amen. When I was a young man, my grandmother lived up in Bessemer City, North Carolina. And there was a little fellow named Costley. He wasn't a little fellow. He weighed about 350 pounds. He ran a little tiny community grocery store right across the street from where my grandmama lived. His name was Mr. Costner. And Mr. Costner was a big shot in the Baptist church right down the street. He was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. And, of course, I never did like him because he was mean. Every time you go in his store, he's hateful and ugly. He had a nasty attitude. But to all them adults, boy, he was Christianity personified. And then one day, Mr. Costner went to the doctor, and they did some tests. And a couple of days later, they called him back, and they gave him his report and his prognosis. They said, "You got cancer, and the prognosis is terminal." That old man would stand in the door of that little store and raise his fist to heaven and curse God to his face. He just could not understand why God could let that happen to him after the way he had served the Lord. So, preacher, did God? I don't know whether God did it or not. I don't know if there was something in his lifestyle, some human conduct, some things he was doing that contributed to that. I don't know if it was a biological thing. I don't know if his system is just out of whack and overweight, and you know, I don't know. It could have been conduct. It could have been it could have been the Lord. The truth, benefit of the doubt. Of course, it didn't change anything. He died anyway. He just died mad, that's all. He died separated from God. You say, "Well, if he was saved, he's in heaven." If he was saved, he's still in heaven. But what a way to get there, man. What a testimony when he gets home to the judgment. Amen. What an impact he had. I was just a kid across the street, and I remember that guy now for over 40 years. Amen. Now, sometimes the things that come up in our life, the bad things, are because of sin. Sometimes the things that come in our life are for His glory. Sometimes the things that come in our life are to prove you. That's why it came up in Job's life. God proved Job with the testings and the trials. Sometimes the things that come in your life are to chasten you. Sometimes it's not God at all. Sometimes it's just luck. Sometimes it's just plain old ordinary. God wasn't within 100 miles of it. Amen. Y'all do believe in luck, don't you? If you got any sense, you do. Sometimes it's biological, and sometimes it's because of human conduct. I'd be very careful about being real quick on the trigger to blame God for the bad things that happen in my life. What about this? Let's suppose that you can determine that it's God. God is doing it to you or to your loved one. What should you do then? Amen? It's not the doctor's negligence. It's not because somebody took prescription medicine way too long and killed themselves with it. It's not because of some habit or some, you know. Let's just assume for a minute that whatever it is in your life or in their life, God really is involved. Then you got to ask yourself why. I know folks, they say, "Daddy died and Daddy was a godly man. If I preach right today, if I ever knew anybody that loved the Lord, it was Daddy. I don't know why God took him." Well, sweetheart, I know your daddy loved God, but we ain't seen him at church house in 3 years. And he never did tithe. And I've been by the store down there and heard him out there telling them dirty jokes to them other fellas. Amen. So I tell you, preacher, I believe Daddy was saved. He might have been. But that doesn't mean he was living for God. God may have well dealt with him for a long time and just couldn't get his attention. And finally, God, this is the only way God could get it. Maybe God used it as a double-edged sword. Maybe God took old daddy because he was backslidden and wouldn't get right. And he knew if he took him, it would affect you. Maybe you'd get right. I don't know why God does what God does. I do know this. God knows why. God's always right. And God never made a mistake. And the smartest thing you can do instead of getting mad is trust God. Try and sit around and figure it out. You don't know enough to figure it out. You don't know the circumstances. You don't know the ins and outs. You don't know what was down the road. God might have done it just to be merciful because God saw what was coming. I thought we were supposed to trust the Lord. We only want to trust Him if we understand. Let me point number four here. Because you can't. Because you. That's point number four. Because you. Because you what? Because people get angry at God because you could not understand what was going on. Never allowing that God's got greater understanding than you, greater knowledge than you, greater wisdom than you. You're angry at some event or some situation because you, that little pea-sized brain of yours, don't understand. Kind of presumptuous on our part. The God of glory, the only wise God, is in charge, but He's got to explain it and make it understandable to you and I. Well, because you could not understand, you get angry. Because you could not accept. I know folks who are mad at God because they can't see. They simply cannot accept what's happened. They weren't ready for it. They don't understand why it happened. These people weren't old enough or this, that, or the other. And so, why did God do it? Why did God let it happen? Well, I don't know, but He did. He did. Oh, I just can't accept that. I just can't accept this. Hey, stupid. You don't have any choice. The choices are live with it and get over it, or live with it and pay for it. Amen? It's either trust God and stay close to the Lord and let the Lord explain it one of these days, or get mad at God and live in bitterness and aggravation and shut yourself away from God and still have to wait one of these days to find out. Because you could not understand, because you could not accept. The truth is, because you could not understand and you could not accept, it proves you do not trust. Now, Job trusted. Job trusted. Job lost all of his money, all of his friends, and all of his children. Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked I returned thither. And all this Job sinned not with his mouth. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He was upset. He was aggravated. He was mad about it. He didn't understand it. He thought he was living right. He prayed for his children. He took care of his fellow man. He was generous. He gave to charity. He didn't run around on his wife. And yet all that bad stuff happened. And Job said, though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust. Now that's trusting God.
You and I, boy, the first time some little thing comes along, first time we lose a loved one, first time something comes along we don't understand or we can't accept or we can't see through it and we don't know the ins and the outs and the whys and the wherefores, we get mad at God. Whatever happened to trusting the Lord? Does He not know more than we do? Does He not see things we cannot see? Is He not all wise? Does He ever make a mistake? Does He ever do anything that's not for your best interest? Is Romans 8:28 still not in the book? Now Romans 8:28 never said all things are for your good. It didn't say that. It said all things work together for your good. That is, God takes the good things and the bad things, and as long as you love Him and serve Him, God makes that work out in the end for your good. Amen. Tragedy sometimes can be the greatest blessing down the road, but you've got to trust God to get through it. We want to get mad. And because you could not trust Him, because you could not accept, you have, point number five, is you have what? You have separated yourself from the only source of comfort. When real tragedy comes in life, people, humanity, family and friends are very inadequate at the job of comforting and consoling. Because there's some places they just can't go. There's some things they just can't experience. There's some things they can't empathize with. They want to. They mean well. But I'm telling you, buddy, when your heart is breaking, there are no words spoken by a human being that can bring peace and comfort sometimes. I go to funerals all the time, and you go there, and here's a bereaved wife or a child or whoever it is, and you try to say comforting things. It don't mean squat. I mean, they appreciate it, but it doesn't do anything to take away the hurt. I know what's going to happen. A day or two after the funeral, a little while after the funeral and everybody goes home and things settle back down and finally you're alone with your thoughts and your emotions, the tears are going to come and the frustration is going to come and you're going to sob and cry and pour out your heart. And I'm here to tell you, while you are brokenhearted and you are in the slough of despond and there's nobody around to distract and you are down as low as you can get, the sweet peace of God Almighty comes in and fills your heart and fills your life and sustains you. And that's the only person where you can find that comfort. And when you get mad at God because of what's happened in your life, off from that. When you do that, there is nobody left that can comfort you. You have separated yourself from the only source of comfort. You've alienated yourself from His goodwill. When you get angry at God, get hostile toward God, you limit God's ability to do good things in your life. You know what? I've got a message over there in the Old Testament in Exodus. You know what it said over there? It said, "And ye have limited the Holy One of Israel." I've got a message on limiting God. And one of the things that shuts God out of your life, deprives you of His blessings and His peace and His presence, is anger. God's not angry. God hasn't left. But when you get angry, my wife she gets mad at me sometimes. And I've never figured out why. But from time to time, she will get irritated. Amen? And I'm normally a loving, kind, compassionate, caring, giving individual. And when I sense in her that she's angry at me, I come to her and try to be normal and try to love her and perhaps embrace her and give her a little hug or something, and she pushes me away. I haven't gone anywhere and I haven't changed. The problem is right here. She has pushed out of her life that love. Amen. Listen, God didn't get mad. God didn't go running off. We got mad at God. And we won't let God in our life. So when I say you've separated yourself, you did it because of your unbelief and because of your cold heart. Because of your anger. You separate yourself from His goodwill. You isolated yourself from His power. It's impossible for God to work in our hearts and in our lives when we have pushed Him out because of our anger. I don't know about you, but I need the power of God in my life. I need the power of God to give me peace. I need the power of God to overcome sin. I need the power of God to resist temptation. I need the power of God. I don't want to live without it. And if I get mad at God, if I get angry at the Lord, if I push Him away, then I've isolated myself from His power. Then last but not least, you have distanced yourself from His love. He still loves you. It's hard to experience love. It's difficult to display love when you're angry. We let situations and circumstances, whatever they are, sear our heart, make us angry at the Lord. Drive that wedge between us and Him. The only loser is us. Preacher say, well, preacher, I just don't know why God let something happen. Folks, honest truth, I can't tell you why certain things happen. I don't know. I can't discern. I'm not wise enough, and I doubt if you are, to know all the time. Maybe sometimes we know. This happened because I did so and so. I mean, there's an action and there's a consequence. Amen? Sometimes we know. But sometimes things come in our life, situations arise, either with us or with our family or our close friends. And the truth is, we don't know why. I don't know if it's because of sin in your life. I don't know if it's for chastisement. I don't know when it's for God's glory. I don't know if it's just blind luck. I don't know if it's biological. I had a predisposition to something. A lot of times we just, honest before God, don't have a clue why certain things happen. I do know this, though, that it is always wiser, it is always better to give God the benefit of the doubt. And even though you don't understand, you can get on your face and say, Lord, I don't understand it, and it's breaking my heart, and I'm perplexed. But I know thee that thou art the only wise God, and that all you do is for my good and for the best. And I will trust you, though thou slay me. Even though I don't understand it, even though I can't comprehend it, even though it doesn't make any sense to me, I will trust you. And anchor yourself in God, and believe that God is on your side, and that God does all things well. Ask God to give you peace about it. Ask God to give you understanding about it. And if you can't do those things, ask God to give you the grace to live with it. But whatever you do, don't you get angry at God. You will lose. You will lose now. You will lose later. Getting angry at God is about the most foolish thing a Christian ever did. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I don't know what people have tucked away in their heart in every little corner. I know that sometimes it's possible for us to play church and be religious and at the same time be bitter inside of God and have something against you. It breaks our fellowship and hinders our love. I pray you'd help us today to search our own heart, to know our own heart, to dig out and uproot those things, anything that would cause anger or bitterness toward Thee. Help us to have absolute and complete faith and trust in Thee, even sometimes blind faith. Just trust in it because of who You are. You will do what's right. We'll thank You for it in Jesus' name.